Thank you for studying the Bible with us at BBN. Please support our ministry by sharing a financial gift with us today. Now, here is your lesson from the BBN BI.
Turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to Romans chapter 12. I want to share with you on the subject, and the title of my study and consideration and meditation together with you is God's will dash it is perfect. God's will for my life, God's plan for my life. What's the Bible have to say? Now, I want to discuss it with you under four main headings. Okay? Heading number one is God's will, a description of it. We'll endeavor to describe what the will of God is from the Word of God. Secondly, God's will, a discovery of it. What's the good of knowing what it is, knowing all about it, if you don't know what God's will is for your life personally? And thank God He wants us to know His will, right? He doesn't only want us to know it, He wants us to understand it. It says in Ephesians 5, understanding what the will of the Lord is. It says in John 7:17, if any man will do His will, he shall know. So God wants me to discover His will. Thirdly, we're going to talk about the will of God, a delight in it. Psalmist said, I delight to do thy will. The will of God ought to be a joy, ought to be a delight. Not a formula for misery. Thank God it is a blessing in our lives, right? And then fourthly, God's will, a decision to do it. The will of God's not a matter of discussion, it's a matter of decision. So I think if we can cover those four main topics, the will of God, a description of it, a discovery of it, a delight in it, and a decision to do it. Now, I want to base it upon two verses in Romans chapter 12, and then, like the typical preacher, Vance Havner said, the average preacher takes a text and then he departs. And so we'll read here and then we'll depart. Now, we'll look at several portions of the Word of God concerning the subject of the will of God from Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Great chapter, Romans 12. I'd like to read again verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A description of the will of God. Let me just give you several Bible verses. You're familiar with most of them, probably all of them. Just jot them down. You won't have time to look them up. I'm not going to take time to look each one up. I'm going to want to give you just a few. Because number one, the Bible declares God's will. The Bible declares God's will. So if you're going to describe the will of God, you've got to find the declaration of the Word of God. Listen to some of these verses. Psalm 40, verse 8. The psalmist said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Now notice, he did not say, I delight to know it. He didn't say, I delight to pray about it. He said, I delight to what? Do it. There it is. I delight to do thy will. Psalm 143, verse 10, the psalmist said, teach me. Now he said, Lord, this isn't something that just comes naturally. Lord, I need to be taught. I need to be instructed. And I believe that you and I, every Christian, we need to be instructed concerning the will of God. So the psalmist said in Psalm 143, verse 10, teach me to what? Did he say, teach me to know your will? What did he say? Teach me to do thy will, O my God. He said, I want to be taught, Lord, by you to do the will of God. There's the key. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. I'm not giving these in any certain chronological order. Matthew 6, verse 10, Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. What was the motivating, driving force in the life of the Lord Jesus? The will of the Father. I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of Him that sent me. Matthew 12, 50. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father. John 5, 30. Jesus said, I seek the will of my Father. Folks, every day of his life here on earth, he submitted himself to the will of the Father. Now listen, if the Son of God, the Sovereign Lord, the Savior, said, I seek the will of my Father, what should you and I be seeking? We ought to be seeking the will of our Father, the will of God. You see, the will of God, dash, it is perfect. How are you going to go wrong on that which is perfect? What does it say in Romans 12? It says it's good, it's acceptable. And would you notice in Romans 12, 1 and 2, the word acceptable appears twice? Would you notice in verse 1, it says, present yourselves a living sacrifice, your body, unto God, what? Acceptable. Folks, there will never be a submission to the will of God until there is a sacrifice of my body and my life to God. I'm not going to submit to His will until there's been the sacrifice on God's divine altar. Notice, the sacrificing and presenting my body as a living sacrifice in verse 2, then I what? I prove, and the word prove here means to prove by experience. Not just to prove in theory. Not just to prove from a textbook. But to prove by experience the will of God. Then it says, when my sacrifice presenting my body to Him becomes acceptable unto God, then I will prove the will of God in my life by experience, which is also acceptable unto God. So if my sacrificial body yielded to Him becomes acceptable, then my submission to the will of God becomes successful and acceptable. Then, and then only, will I begin to walk in the path of good works, according to Ephesians 2:10. then will I be walking in obedience to the will of God. So the word acceptable is a key word here. Now over in John 7:17, it says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or I speak of myself. Okay, you want to know God's will? You want to know whether it's of God? Here's the key. The key to knowing is a willing to do. There it is. The key to knowledge is a willing heart. And the key in the will of God is not your head. The key in the will of God is your heart. See, we're going to heaven heart first, not head first. So it's a matter of the heart. And your heart is where you make your decisions. That's where you make that commitment, right? So here it is. Now listen to Matthew 26:42. Jesus said in the garden, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What cup? The cup of suffering. That's Matthew 26:42. The cup of suffering, the cup of anguish, the cup of death, the cup of the cross. He said, if it be possible, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. On the cross, what was Jesus Christ doing? Yes, he was paying for your sin and my sin, but he was satisfying the will of God. You see, when the Bible says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, that word propitiation means satisfaction. He is the satisfaction for our sin. So on the cross, what's he doing? He's satisfying the will of God. He's satisfying the will of the Father. That's why on the cross, he said, it's finished. It's finished. What's finished? The will of the Father for me on earth. I've paid the price. I've paid the price. I've completed. I've satisfied God. I've made a provision for sin. But in the garden, if it be possible, nevertheless, thy will. In Acts 21:14, great verse. Acts 21 is where Paul said, I'm going to Jerusalem. And later, we're going to look at that chapter. In Acts 21, Paul said, I'm going to Jerusalem. You remember they came along and said, don't go. You remember Agabus came along, did a little object lesson, said, whoever goes to Jerusalem is going to be bound, said, don't go. And people said, Paul, don't go. Then you remember Paul said, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? This is Acts 21:13. He said, for I'm ready. That word ready, by the way, is a key word in the life of Paul. It's good to be ready. He said, I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Listen to verse 14. When they heard that, it says they all ceased. That means they all ceased trying to convince him not to go. And they all said, the will of the Lord be done. There it is, Acts 21:14. All the group said, the will of the Lord be done. Whatever God's will is, what we want. Ephesians 6:6, verses 5 and 6 says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. There it is. Listen, whatever you are doing and whatever you find to do and whatever God has for you to do, do it from the heart, doing the will of God from the heart. Lord, this is your will. I want to do it with a willing heart. Romans 12:2, we already have, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Hebrews 13:21 says that he might make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Listen to it now. That he might make you perfect in every good work to what? To do his will. So you see, according to that verse in Hebrews, and that's Hebrews 13:21. See, according to that verse, maturity and the will of God go hand in hand. That he might make you perfect, he might make you complete, that he might make you mature. And as I begin to grow and mature and grow in grace and knowledge, according to 1 Peter 3:18, and as I develop in Christ, the more mature I become as a child of God, the more willing I become in my heart to do the will of God, because the will of God becomes the outflow and the overflow of the inflow of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. It goes hand in hand. So don't just try to do the will of God in your own strength. If you do, it'll be miserable. Don't try to just take it in your own hands. You'll be unhappy. And by the way, you don't have an option with relation to the will of God, Christian. The will of God is not an option. It's an obligation. It's not optional. You can't say take it or leave it. You decide not to do it, you study what Hebrews says. Both the chastening, correcting, disciplining hand of God. You may think the will of God's tough and difficult, but let me tell you, it's a lot more difficult for a Christian trying to live outside of it. You want to know where real misery is? You just try your will instead of God's will. Try your plan instead of God's plan. So he makes you perfect in every good work to what? To do his will. James 4:15. I love that portion in James 4. Lord willing, we'll take a look at that later. James 4 says, starting verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city, continue there a year, buy, sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, what's your life, even a vapor, that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. But now listen to verse 15. For that you ought to say, here it is. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, I'll go here, I'll go there, I'll do this, I'll do that. All such boasting, he says, is vain, it's evil. Therefore, James 4:17, to him that knoweth to do what? Good, and doesn't do it, to him it's what? Sin. Now listen. Romans 12:2 says the will of God is good. James 4:17 says to him that knows to do good. So take out good, put in the will of God. To him that knows to do the will of God and doesn't do it, it's sin. Simple as that. Don't excuse it. Don't try to explain it away. Disobedience to the will of God in the life of the Christian in any aspect is sin. Trust and obey. For there's no, just period right there. There's no other way. That's it. To be happy in Jesus. To be what? Trust and obey. It's a matter of whether you want to be content. Now, 1 John 2:17. 1 John 2:15, 16, and 17 actually all go together. It says, love not the world, neither the things are in the world. It's very interesting to note how separation from sin in the world and the will of God go hand in hand. Love not the world, neither the things are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, lust the flesh, lust the eyes, pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But now listen to this one, verse 17. But, he that doeth the will of God, help me finish it, shall abide for what? Forever. Folks, the will of God's eternal. You want to invest in that which is temporary or that which is eternal? You want to invest in that which lasts forever or do you just want to invest in that which is passing? Don't get so wrapped up in the temporary you miss the eternal. The will of God is eternal. The Word of God is eternal. The Son of God is eternal. So, God's will, it is perfect. So the Bible declares the will of God. It declares God's will. Secondly, the Bible describes the will of God. What I want to do is I want to give you 10 simple statements concerning the will of God based upon the Word of God in giving you a description. It's not complete. It's not detailed. It's not the ultimate. But it'll just give you 10 basic, practical, simple truths concerning the will of God to describe it. We've seen the Bible declares it. I could have gone on and give you easily 10 times the number of verses that I gave you, right? There are scores and scores and scores of verses in the Bible on the subject of God's will. And you know something we have a tendency to forget? It's the will of God. It's the will of God. What we're talking about, folks, is divine. What we're talking about is sovereign. This is God's plan. This is God's will. This is God's purpose. Now, let's get a basic description of it based upon the Word of God, okay? Number one, 10 things I have for you now. Number one, it is perfect. It is perfect. Romans 12:2. Now, would somebody just give me a simple explanation of what it means when it says the will of God is perfect? It's complete. Without error. You can't improve on it. The ultimate. And I like that. That's good. It's the ultimate. You hit the nail right on the head. Unquestionable. Good. Fulfilling. Great. On and on we could go. You see? The will of God's... What's it mean? It's without error. It is without flaw. It is without failure. It's without mistake. It's complete. It's perfect. In other words, it cannot be improved upon. Two, the will of God is positive. Living in such a negative society, living in such a negative generation, let me tell you, I thank God for something as positive. And I'm glad we've got some positives in Christianity. And I want to tell you, one of the great positives of Christianity in a relationship with Jesus Christ is the will of God. Here's the verse. John 7:17. I gave it to you before, but I'm giving you a verse for each of these statements. John 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know. Thank God you can know. So the will of God's positive. Isn't it great to have something that's positive? God says the will of God is what? It's positive. You may know. And I want you to know that you can know the will of God. Number three, it is practical. The will of God is practical. I'm so glad we have a practical God. I'll give you the verses. James 4:13-17. Those are the verses I quoted a little while ago. It is very practical. What'd they say? Today or tomorrow we'll go into the city, we'll continue there a year, we'll buy, we'll sell, we'll get gain, whereas you know not what shall be in the morrow. You see, what is your life? Just a vapor. Listen, the will of God involves time. So it involves my everyday, hours, days, weeks, months. The will of God involves my location geographically. We're going to go into the city. We're going to continue there. The will of God involves every aspect of my life. It involves business. We're going to buy. We're going to sell. We're going to get gain. Who said so? You see? But it involves my business life. The will of God involves my personal life, it involves my family life, it involves my business life, it involves my church life, it involves my spiritual life, it involves every aspect of my life. Why? Because the will of God is very practical. Our God is a practical God. Number four, it is prayerful. The will of God is prayerful. It involves prayer. Psalm 143:10, teach me to do thy will, O my God. You need to pray about the will of God. I believe as a Christian, I ought to pray about God's will on a regular basis. I believe it ought to be basically, Lord, I want to live and operate and function in your will today. Lord, help me today not to step outside the will of God. Lord, help me today that Wendell Calder's will does not get in the way of your will. Help me today, Lord, to live in the will of God. You know why? It's perfect. It's perfect. And it's eternal. So I'm not investing in something as temporary. So I need to pray about it. What the psalmist say in Psalm 143? Teach me to do your will. We need to be taught. How do you learn? You sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And let me tell you, before you're ever going to stand to be a leader, you need to sit to be a learner. And when we sit to learn, we'll be ready to stand to lead. You've got to take time to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus and learn of Him. He said, I'm meek and lowly. Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn of me. Never quit being a learner. Always be teachable. God always has something to teach us. It's prayerful. Number five, it is prepared. It is prepared. The will of God is not an afterthought in the mind of God. The will of God is not just something God says every morning, well, let me see. I think I'll just kind of zap him over here today and put it. No, no, no. You see, the will of God is a prepared will. Way back before God laid the foundations of this whole world, He prepared and planned for your salvation and mine. And not only did He plan and prepare to save me, He planned and prepared what He was going to do with me once He got me saved. Isn't that what He says? He said, I'm predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, right? So what does it say in Ephesians 2:10? It says what? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, which God hath before ordained, which God hath before prepared, that we might what? Walk in them. So the will of God is prepared. What's the verse? Romans 12:2. There it is. He said, I want you to prove by experience my prepared will for you. God says, here it is. And listen, listen to me. God's not going to alter and change His will for you just because you want it changed. You know why? It's good and it's perfect. Why would He want to change what's perfect and mess it up? He knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for me. Now I see through a glass darkly, but He knows. Number six, it's personal. It is personal. I like that. I'm glad the will of God is not just a general will. Now, God does have a general will. God does have a general will for the world, a general will for the nations, a general will for the church. But God has a specific will for individuals. God has a specific will for you and me. Paul the Apostle talks so much about the will of God. Paul talks so much about the will of God. Let's just look at two or three verses quickly here. Romans. Come over to Romans chapter 1 with me just for a moment. Romans chapter 1. And verse number 10. Romans 1:10 says, making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Do you see that? Paul said, I want to come unto you, but I want to come by the will of God. I don't want to come by the will of Paul. And if I come by the will of God, it'll be what kind of a journey? Prosperous journey. So see how he considered the will of God? Come over to Romans chapter 15, please. Romans chapter 15. Verse 32, he said that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. Listen, okay, at the opening of the book, he said, I want to have a journey to come by the will of God. At the close of the book, he said, I want to come with joy and be refreshed by the will of God. It's very, very personal. Come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 19. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power, the kingdom of God. There it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 19. By the will of God. One other verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I believe it's verse number 7. Yes, it is. Verse 7. For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. There's the word. If the Lord permit. If the Lord wills. If the Lord allows it. So thank God. His will for me is personal. Number seven. The will of God not only is perfect, positive, practical, prayerful, and prepared, and personal, it's pleasurable. The will of God is pleasurable. Put down Psalm 40, verse 8. That's where the psalmist said, I delight to do your will. And put down Romans 12, 2. That's where he said the will of God's good. The will of God is good. It is pleasurable. It is enjoyable. It is a delight. The will of God's not a drudgery. It's a delight. It's not a job. It's a joy. And the difference is how you look at it, how you view it. Okay? So it's pleasurable. Are you enjoying God's will or enduring it? Number eight, the will of God is proper. Romans 12, 2, the word acceptable. James 4, 15, you ought to say, thank God it's not an improper thing that God places. It's very proper. It's in place. It's in order. It's part of God's plan for my life. Number nine, it is profitable. The will of God is profitable. How do I know? Well, 1 John 2:17 said it abides for how long? Forever. Now let me ask you, how many things abide forever? The only things that abide forever are the things that are related to spiritual things, right? The only thing that abides forever in lasting joy and peace and contentment and fulfillment and satisfaction is that which is in relationship to Jesus Christ and my walk with Him. So the will of God is profitable. It's eternal. It's everlasting. It's without end. It's God's will. It is divine. And then, number 10, it is provable. You can prove the will of God. Now, you cannot improve on the will of God. But you can approve of it and then prove it in your life. He said that you may prove. Here it is, right here in Romans 12, 2. And it means to prove by experience. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have faced a decision with relation to the will of God, then by God's grace, the Word of God, and God uses circumstances too. You made your decision, and then, as you begin to walk and develop, you begin to realize, this is exactly what God wanted for me. This is where God wants me. And so what did you do? You proved by experience, this is the will of God. You can know it, and you can delight in it. What does the Lord say? Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I'll not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. So there's 10 things in describing the will of God. Could give you more. Listen to them again quickly. Okay, it is perfect. It's positive. It's practical. It's prayerful. It's prepared. Prepared by God. It's got to be good. It's personal. Deals with me. It's pleasurable. Psalmist said, I delight to do it. It's proper. It's acceptable to God. It ought to be acceptable to me. It's profitable. It's eternal. Isn't going to come to an end. And it's provable. You can prove it by daily experience in your life. So what is the will of God? It is His plan for His people. And I believe it is tailor-made for each and every child of God. Now, Romans chapter 12. Take a look just you would as I wrap it up. Romans chapter 12. Not only the Bible declares His will. Number two, the Bible describes His will. Now number three, and we're just going to introduce this. The Bible demands His will. The Bible not only declares it and describes it, the Bible demands it. If any man will do, John 7:17, Romans 12:1, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I want you to notice three things here in Romans 12:1-2. First of all, the request. What's the request? He said, I beseech of you. I'm requesting. I'm begging. I'm pleading with you. Now, what's he pleading? What's he requesting? Here's the request. Brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. There's the request. By the way, it's a reasonable requirement. It is a reasonable requirement. What's he say? Which is your reasonable service. So, it's required, but it's reasonable. And God never requires anything unreasonable. So there's the request. The request is, just present yourself to the Lord. Folks, you want to quit struggling with the will of God? Fulfill the request. What's the request? Here I am, Lord. What do you want? Well, let me tell you, He'll let you know what He wants. And what He wants is good, acceptable, and perfect. How are you going to go wrong? God's looking for available people. So here's the request. Now, secondly, look at the results. What are the results? Twofold. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed into the next world. Non-conformed to the crowd, newly transformed to Christ. When you what? When you present your body a living sacrifice. But there's the key. You've got to fulfill the request. So His reasonable requirement produces a renewed relationship. What is it? My mind's been renewed. You see, non-conformed to the world, but newly transformed unto Jesus Christ. Then, what's the reason for all this? Why did He make the request? So that I might get the results. Here's the reason, that I might prove something. Here's it all. Why did He request I present my body? Why did He say non-conformed to the world, but newly transformed unto Christ? Here it is, so that I might prove. What is it I'm going to prove? The will of God. The will of God, it is